Welcome to Terry Talks, Faith, Family, and Fort Rock.
Okay, so we're here today, first time doing a podcast. A friend and I were talking about it, and he offered to kind of set this all up for us. And then I don't remember if it was me or him that first reached out to you, but what was your first initial thoughts when we said, hey, Dad, let's do a podcast?
I said, a podcast? Really? do we need a podcast? And, you know, in the past, people have asked, they ask all the time, you know, what are you doing now? How'd you get started? You know, why would you do something like this? And so, you know, what better way to preserve this by getting it down recording?
Right, right. And for me, you know, being your daughter with kids, I want my kids to know your stories. A lot of them have heard it, but some of them are younger. You had a heart attack last year. We don't know how much time we have left. So for me, a lot of it was preserving the legacy. But an aspect that I was thinking about is a lot of our alumni, you know, have come, we send out emails, and I wanted to give back to them almost like a thank you for coming to Fort Rock. A gift of being able to listen to your stories.
Well, of course, during camp, you know, we talk about a lot of the stories, but it's selective. We don't do all of them all the time. And, you know, like even why we came to Fort Rock.
Right.
You know, where it started back in Ruidoso, New Mexico.
Right.
Years ago.
I remember that. Now, this was after you were saved.
Yeah. So I get saved. I've been saved for a couple of years. And God's done a work in my life that's just, well, you wouldn't remember.
No.
Because you were little. How old were you?
You got saved in 95.
I got saved in 95,
like July,
so 97. So yeah.
I was.
You were born when?
91, so probably.
Seven.
Yeah.
7 years old, yeah.
You mean 97 when we went to Ruidoso?
Yeah, we went 2 years after I got saved.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no, I remember that trip, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was seven. Yeah. That was so much fun.
Right, so you're seven, and so. But God had done a work in my heart, in my life, that, I mean, everybody knows, and I tell it at camp, that I worked 8 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, you can't work 8 days a week. But literally, I worked all the time. And in the book of Malachi, he talks about turning the hearts of the dads to their kids. And, you know, I had two kids. I know I had two kids, but I didn't have a heart for you, you know, at the time. And so over those 2 years, God turned my heart to you guys mm-hmm. in just a supernatural way, really, supernatural. And so when we got to, a good friend of mine invited us to family camp. And I'm thinking, family camp, what in the world is that?
Right. And you had had bad experiences or
yeah.
not bad, but
well,
just
through the church we went to a youth camp and as advisors or whatever, helpers and a youth camp and a children's camp. And those were not good experiences. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go into detail, but they just didn't work out real well. So in my mind, and growing up, we didn't go to camp. Mm-hmm. I've never been to camp. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't want to do a camp if it's like what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this, and I really respected this guy that asked us to go and really loved his family because they were instrumental in us getting saved and discipleship. But anyway, so we went. By the time we went, it was just a weekend. It was Friday night. They didn't feed you on Friday night, and it was not that expensive. And then it was over Sunday by chapel time. But the whole weekend we were there, I'm looking at the other dads, and I'm thinking, I know you have children, but you look like I used to look.
Mm.
It just didn't seem like you had that relationship with your kids. And I'm thinking, why is that? Why don't you have a desire to be around your kids and stuff. And I thought, Lord, would you let me build a camp? I mean, this is crazy. Would you let me build a camp and just tell the dads, let them come and let me just share what you did for me?
Right. And I know at the time you were praying about different ministries and you had other harebrained ideas. I mean, it would be fun to go into that a little bit of all the crazy stuff that you had maybe prayed about. Nothing really came to fruition, but this was the first thing that ever did.
I'm 35, so I'm not, you know, I'm not a baby, but when I gave my life to the Lord, I'm 37 now at that time when we went to Ruidoso. And when I feel like the Lord put that on my heart to do a family camp, that of all the things that I'd come up with as far as ministries made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about a move from Texas, sell everything else you have, and to move into Arkansas, not knowing a soul,
mm-hmm.
and starting over.
Well, why Arkansas?
Well, so I'd consider myself a mama's baby, and I didn't want to be very far away from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd built a house for my mom and dad beside us, and by this time, especially, family's a big deal, but I knew that Colorado was too far away,
mm-hmm.
and they had mountains there. But as a kid, we'd gone camping through the Ozark Mountains, and I thought, you know what? Ozark Mountains, that sounds like a nice place, and it's not that far. And so that's what we did. Mom and I and you guys, we took an exploratory trip and headed north into Arkansas, and we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Maybe at another time. But
I remember when we went there, I specifically remember the pig trail and how windy that road is leading up to the camp. Mm-hmm. And you had like some sort of, not new agey music, but like really pretty melodious music going on. And I just thought, this place is magical. As a kid, you know,
right.
And I was probably by that time, probably 8
right.
or 9, honestly.
Probably 9, yeah.
By the time we actually were able to go exploring up there.
Yeah.
Because it took a lot
of
years.
It took a couple of years, yeah, after that even.
Yeah, to do that. Now, let's circle back to Ruidoso. What was that camp like? I mean, I remember cabins. They were rough. I remember walking on a fort wall.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hiking down to an archery range. I don't remember a lot of details about the weekend. I don't remember what we ate. But
remember
I just
the zip line?
No, I do not remember the zip line.
The zip line was like 60 feet long.
Of course.
And my hiney would hit the ground when it was so close to the ground. So you couldn't get hurt at all. And I thought, yeah, zip line, we need that. And they had an obstacle course.
I remember that.
Yeah, nice. Having to try to get mom over a log wall and stuff. That didn't go well. But
I just know that walking away from it as a kid, it's one of my fondest memories.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day. And again, I don't have a lot of specific details, but the obstacle course, now that you said that, it may have helped that I've seen a few photos that mom had from back then. But I just remember that being so much fun. And that was one of the only like super long road trips we took, because the fact that you would go from Texas all the way to New Mexico just for, you know, a quick weekend trip. I know mom made a bigger trip out of it, but it just showed me that, I don't know, we just felt together. And again, I don't remember, it didn't have roller coasters. Like you said, the zip line was kind of small, but as a kid, I just loved it.
Yeah.
It was such a fun trip.
Well, I was intrigued by the cabins and
so it was Old
mountains.
West too.
It was Old West. Yeah, it looked like a fort. It's called Fort Lone Tree.
Okay.
And it looked like an old fort. And so we actually took some pictures of us standing in front of the camp or whatever, mm-hmm. some of the buildings or whatever. And that's literally how I built the camp, was from those pictures.
Wow.
I had decided that I wanted an old West town. I like Westerns and I wanted an old West town. And so I was going to put an old West town in the middle and have the fort around it. They had a log cabin in the middle for their dining hall.
Okay.
And it was nice. But I thought, if I want to do it, I want to have an old West town. And I thought, I don't even know if you have old West towns and old forts back then. And, you know, a camper showed me a picture of a fort with an old West town in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
It was an old picture. And I thought, well, there you go. I knew I wasn't crazy. And so
you've seen that in some John Wayne movie somewhere.
Probably. And so anyway, that's how it got started. That's the birthing of
mm-hmm.
Fort Rock Family Camp, was from those pictures and that experience in Ruidoso.
Okay. So I was going to ask you about the name Fort Rock. I remember, I have a very vague memory of this. I was on a dozer or a tractor with you, clearing a lot or cleaning up a lot. And I remember you turning to me and saying, "Hey, what do you think about the name Fort Rock?" And as a kid, I was like, "Fort Rock, that's just too short. I don't like it." But obviously I didn't know what I was talking about back then. But what made you come up with that name?
Well, in my mind, of course, Jesus is the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea in Arkansas that it was as rocky as it is. I mean, I'm used to sandy loam soil back home. So I wasn't around rocks at all, but I was thinking about Jesus being the rock. And, to be honest, I don't remember exactly how we ended on Fort Rock, but I knew it had to be a fort because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we're talking about this camp idea and Fort Lone Tree. And in my mind, I, I see the stockade and stuff like that. So I knew I wanted to be Fort. And then to me, the obvious thing was rock, because mm-hmm. Jesus is rock. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what triggered that specific thing whenever I asked you that. I don't remember that, but
I don't remember any other suggestions. It was like, I think we're going to name it Fort Rock. And me being like, that's too short. And you'd be like, well,
you that's,
know, Lone Tree, like we don't know where we're going, so we can't base it off a tree.
Right. Yeah. So I know the verse, you know, our camp verse, Psalm 18:2, you know, I fought with that for a while, or what, you know, why, what's our camp verse and stuff. And a friend of Roxanne's came up with that. She,
really?
She mentioned that, and then I prayed about it and, you know, studied it. And I thought, you know, that sounds perfect. I mean, he's a fortress, he's our rock. And mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so anyway, so that's, yeah, I don't remember that. I don't know if we were on a tractor or dozer or what we were doing, but I, all I know was, is that I, in my heart, I was thinking about this ministry and what it's going to take to get it going. At the time, there are all kinds of logistics that we'd have to go through.
Right.
Selling the house, selling the office, just, and those are stories in themselves.
Yes.
You know, we want to visit those, but, you know, you had mentioned the podcast and us doing the podcast and the reason for the podcast, for, you know, capturing, you know, these stories for posterity, you know, for the kids and mm-hmm. stuff. And I love talking about Jesus. I love sharing God-sized stories.
Well, and it's biblical. Yeah. I mean, they used to set up rocks to remember things, you know, altars.
Yeah.
It's very important that we pass down what God's done, our history, God's done to our kids.
We need to remember, that's what he's talking about, remember what God's done. And it's the easiest just to tell him what he's done in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a new revelation. It's not earth-shattering. It's just, what has he done in my life? And I need to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I say that at camp. I say, you know, we all have stories. If you've been born again, you have a story.
Right.
And you should be willing to tell people, you know, what God's done. You know, in our church, we have praise time. And I love to hear what God's done in your life yesterday.
Right.
Or today.
Right.
And so I think it's important that we share how big God is and what God's done in our life. I like hearing when individuals have stories. And, you know, if our listeners, if you've been to Fort Rock and something happened, I would love to hear what God-sized stories you have, whether it happened at camp or it happened in your house or in your life or something that you're more aware of that God's doing in your family. I'd love to hear those. So if you could share that in the comment section, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, because we get so busy. And like you said, you're born again, you should have stories to share. You can be born again and get so busy and caught up in just life that you don't look for those stories. Yep. And I think that's one thing that you gave as a gift to me, raising me, is because you are constantly aware and sharing the God-sized stories. Whether, you know, you and mom would talk about it around the kitchen table. You would tell us, hey, we can't pay this light bill. We're praying about God doing this. You know, and a lot of people, parents, hide their hard situations from their kids to try to protect them. And I get some of that. But at the same time, if we don't encounter hard situations, how do we know to trust God?
Right.
And it's not going to magically happen when we turn 18 or when we get married.
Right.
And so growing up, hearing those stories helped me in my marriage. When we went through hard times, it was like, oh, I know what to do. I know how to go before the Lord about this.
Right.
And I know that he's taking care of my parents, so he'll take care of me.
Right.
You know, so it was such a gift having those. And so, yes, if people could send in their stories, it encourages us, but it makes you, the person, also write them down and have that etched in your mind and perhaps share it with your kids, which is really important.
Right. And more aware of what God's doing in your life.
Exactly. And I was convicted of that the other day. We were at a bank and I had forgotten something and I had to go back through the drive-thru and redo the transaction. And I was getting a little bit frustrated because we were late for an appointment and we finally got out of the bank, pulled down the road, and right in front of us, a wreck had just happened. There was no, you know, ambulance, police, fire truck. We were able to get around the wreck, but it caused, you know, a good 5-minute delay. And I was just like, oh my goodness, we got to get going. And Harper, my 8-year-old from the back, was like, mom, that would have been us, because we were about to pull out. Then we had to go back through the bank and then we pulled out and that just happened. Mom, that could have been us. God rescued us. And I was just struck to the heart. Like,
yep. Isn't that amazing?
Lord, I didn't even think about that. And instead I just showed frustration to my kids. That's how I responded. But that's a God story.
Yep.
And praise God, you know, Harper noticed that and she spoke that over all the kids yep. and me.
Yep.
And it made me just, man, I know better than this. Yep. Dad raised me better than this.
So we've had stories like that your entire life.
My entire life.
Things have happened yeah. your entire life. And so, and I love bragging about Jesus. I love bragging about things that he's done, things he's going to do, things he should do, things we want him to do. And that's how we try to have our life.
And hearing back from alumni, like we have, a lot of the times it is those stories that help them. It's one of the biggest takeaways, I would say, from camp. Your stories, how God can use, I'm going to just say ordinary
yeah.
people. I mean, I think you're extraordinary. You're my dad, but yeah. ordinary faith and how God can use that. And I think that that's another reason we do this podcast is not only to hear from campers, alumni, that kind of thing, but to also share these stories in hopes that it will be a blessing to them and let them know that they serve the same God that you do,
yep.
you know, and he will do the same things.
Yep.
He will show up in your life. You just yep. have to look for it and understand it. And we want more families. I mean, that's one of the biggest things about Fort Rock, wouldn't you say, is,
right.
is bringing people in to yep. kind of reset them.
Yep. yep.
Right?
Yep. Well, definitely. We want new families to come and experience what we've been living.
yeah.
And how big God is. And, you know, just to give you a quickie, in February of last year, I had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Now, normally I pray and I ask the Lord for God-sized stories. Now, any story, anything he does, like what he did in Harper's life, that's a God-sized story.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, we like to say God-sized because he's so big, and so it has to be something big. And so I'm usually not specific. I don't say, God, do this, this, or this. I just say, Lord, let us have a God-sized story. And so, in February, he gave me one, and I didn't ask for that.
Yeah, do be careful, I yeah. guess. ask
him. And I joke about that. You know, I got to be more specific whenever I ask him about a God-sized story. But he used a heart attack in our life, and for some reason, he chose to leave me here and not take me home yet.
Right.
And so...
it definitely gave me a fire about this podcast, you know, because yeah. going, oh, my dad had a heart attack.
Puts
had a heart
attack. Priorities, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah, it made me like, we got to get these stories down.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, a good friend of mine, a good friend of ours, mm-hmm. younger than me, in excellent health, who had a massive heart attack mowing his yard.
Right.
And he didn't make it.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know you loved him.
Right.
And I know you love me. Why did you take him and you left me here?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And so I have to be grateful that he's chose, I guess, to leave me here. That we can continue camp and continue with the grandkids and stuff. How do you want me to be used still that you left me here?
Right.
And so, you know, you could say you feel guilty, you know, that he left or he took him and didn't take you. And because, you know, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. I mean, I'd just soon be with Jesus, you know, but he's got a purpose. I don't know exactly what that is other than I'm going to continue to do what I was doing. And, I mean, some people say, well, maybe he wants you to slow down. Well, I've slowed down some anyway. I'm older, so I've slowed down some, wiser. When you get a little wiser, you slow down, your priorities, you know, set up a little different. So,
yeah, you're in your PJs by 5 p.m. That never happened in my childhood.
That's never happened. You know, that's never happened. My eating things have changed, everything. I just, you know what? It's about priorities and what's important too. So, and we're in seasons. You know, you're in a different season in your life now than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't do some of the things that I do.
Right.
Just because you're not there yet. You know, I read a Christmas letter this morning from a family. They've got 12 children and just went on and on and on about what each one of these kids are doing. And the lady, she's 51, still got 7 kids at home. She's homeschooling.
Wow.
I'm thinking, your plate is full,
yeah.
you know, and she's got 24-year-olds and 25-year-olds that are married and moved on. I'm like, wow. And, you know, at 66, my life is easy compared to that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we all are in different seasons of our life. And the main thing, we need to enjoy Jesus at each season
mm-hmm.
and see what he has for us at each season and do that. Be great at what we're doing in the season he's got us in. So mom, she was wonderful. she's a full-time nurse and wonderful wife. And I was in the hospital only 2 days and having 3 stents put in. And I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, to me, that was, well, the whole thing was a God-sized story from even riding in the helicopter and all that stuff. So,
well, and you calling us, you know, instead of just turning over and trying to go to sleep, which.
Yeah, that was mom's idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Yeah. Well, I still didn't know it was a heart attack until they.
I know.
I didn't believe them when they told me it was. But anyway, so, but as far as God-sized stories, we've had numerous things happen at camp. The other day I was talking to somebody and it was a person that came up to camp. I don't remember why they came up, but anyway, and I just told them a quickie. It's just, I feel like it's what the Lord laid on my heart at the time. But, I had a mission. We were building the camp and had a missionary. He was on furlough. He was of Hispanic descent. And I had just, you'd helped. I know you did. We picked up rocks for the underpinning for all the building.
Uh-huh.
And we'd gone across the street at the river, and we'd picked up tractor loads of rocks, dumped them up around the camp. And I was about to embark on doing the underpinning, and I'd never laid rocks before. And that's never stopped me before.
And this is before YouTube was super popular, so you've got to appreciate.
I didn't, no ChatGPT
around.
No, I just had to figure it out.
That's
so I bought a mixer. I was going to mix the mortar up, and I was going to lay these stones by myself. And I had some teenage boys. You might have been there. I don't know at the time, Andrew. But anyway, so, but on Monday morning, when I was about ready to start, this evangelist guy, a missionary, comes to camp, and he said, "Hey, I hear you are working. Y'all need some help." He said, "I happen to be a stonemason. Can you?"
Yeah. And from my side, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that God did that so many times. Electricians, plumbers.
I mean, I could tell you stories. It's just,
it's incredible.
You know, only God can do this stuff. Yeah. So whenever you think, were you supposed to be at Fort Rock? Were you supposed to build this place? Well, I don't know, but God sure did a lot of stuff to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I really believe that he could done just as many things to stop it from happening.
Of course.
And so
that's true.
It didn't have to be there. Mm-hmm. And so for this guy to say, I've got about a week.
Wow.
And he looked around, he says, you know, I think we can get this done in a week.
Wow.
And so in 1 week, he was able to, and now we helped him.
Sure.
But he knew what he was doing, and he was able to get that underpinning done on all those cabins in that week at just the perfect timing.
Wow.
And so.
See, I don't remember that. That's awesome.
Stuff has happened. I mean, just, and I don't know why the other day when this gentleman came up to camp and I was showing him around, that story, boom, popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he needed, but I felt like I needed to tell that story. And it came back just like picture perfect, like it just had happened.
Wow.
And so anyway, but those are the kind of things that over the years God has done. And the thing is, it's not, I didn't ask him for it necessarily. I mean, I ask him for help all the time, but he knows exactly what we need when we need it. And that's the amazing thing to me.
And that goes for all seasons, like you were saying. Every person. You don't have to be special. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows what we need.
He knows what we need all the time. And that's what, you know, I try to convey to the alumni, to the people that come, I'm not special. Jesus don't love me any more than he does anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be excited to see how he's doing that in your life. And so like this thing with Harper, that's a little bitty thing.
Right.
But to me, it's a big deal.
Right.
It's a big deal that at 8 years old, she realized that Jesus had something to do with that.
Right.
That's
completely
amazing.
Completely unprompted.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
You can't make that up.
No.
You can't make that
no.
up. So for her to live that away and be raised that away, to me, is extraordinary. And I think everybody could do the same thing, you know, if
right.
you wanted to. It's faith in Jesus, knowing that he's the one, and how you live your life. And I want to live my life to bring honor and glory to him and to expect him to do great things. And he will.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us.
Mm-hmm. And I think being on the receiving end of that, you know, growing up in that kind of household, I remember people like that missionary. I mean, I don't remember him specifically. Growing up, it was very natural to hear those stories. It was very natural to have people all around. You know, in this day and age, I don't know if people make as much time. You and mom were very hospitable, and I think that really helped. You know, that's why we did have these missionaries at our kitchen table, because you'd invite them to our house after Sunday, after Wednesday night or before Wednesday night. And then you would show them the camp as it was being built because it took several years. But this, you know, us doing this podcast, in my mind, is another version of that. You can play this in the car and have your kids listen to it. You can play it in your house. You know, it's a way of capturing these God-sized stories. And we need reminders. You know, that's, again, what you were talking about. Well, you're talking about to me earlier before we started, but why does Walmart still advertise? Everybody knows what Walmart is. We all know who God is. You know, we don't know the encompassing all about him, I guess, but we need to be reminded all the time. Look for the stories, look for the way God's working your life. Cause he's not putting you on a shelf.
Right.
And like you said, and you can say this again, you don't have to be special.
Yeah. 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 So I'm excited about the podcast. I was hesitant at first, not knowing, you know, whatever, but I like talking about Jesus. I like being able to record things that he's done. And I definitely want Sawyer and Gunner and Agnes. I want my grandchildren, the little ones, to be able to know and to hear it from my own mouth.
Right.
How big God is.
Right.
I mean, I know you're going to tell them, but to be able to, you know.
No, it's those missionaries from everywhere talking about it. It's not just my dad ramming this down my throat.
Yeah.
It's everybody's stories, all different perspectives. And I think we need that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going forward, I mean, there's so much, you know, that you could talk about.
Well, I mean, I'd love to talk about other stories, other things that God's done. And maybe we could have some other speakers on sometime, guest speakers that maybe have been impacted by the camp or made a contribution to the camp or whatever, hear their side and see what God's done in their life too.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is a good start.
Yeah.
And there's so much just in our short conversation that I'm like, oh, we could go chase that rabbit and we could go down this trail and I remember this. And so it's a good thing.
Yeah. So I don't know how to wrap it up other than just say thanks for listening. And we'll try to get some others out and we'll just see what the Lord does.
Yeah. And if you have some to share, please pass those along.
Yeah, pass along in the comment section. If something's happened in your life and you'd like us to talk about it, I'd love to hear about that. That'd be great. Thanks again for listening. And hey, be sure and hit that like and subscribe button. We don't want anybody to miss anything. And we have a lot of big God-sized stories we want to share with you. And so until next time, look forward to it.